I know all of you, and I do too, miss Billy and Sherry this morning, but they are in Colorado at Chelsea's graduation from, I hope I'm saying this right, Naropa University. And I know that it's a big occasion for them, and I know you all want to think of them this weekend and welcome them back home next week when they will be back here in church. I can look out into this room this morning and I see the faces of many mothers, some that I know are mothers, others I'm not sure. There are moms in traditional families and there are moms in various special mothering situations of all kinds, stepmoms, step-in moms of all types and all genders for that matter, friends who have been like moms, sisters, aunts, grandmothers, cousins, foster moms, daddy moms, single moms, and probably a whole host of other situations that I haven't thought of and also need to be celebrated on this Mother's Day. Now, I think to most of us, there's someone in our life who has mothered us at some time or some way, even if we didn't have a mother or even if we did. And in my unbiased opinion, each and every one of us who fits that bill all deserved breakfast in bed this morning. Yeah, let's applaud that one. Now, I didn't get breakfast in bed, but I'm hoping for lunch in the hammock, maybe. Or at the very least, a gift that does not require any kind of electricity or to be put together, one or the other. But for me, I think it's high time in my life that Mother's Day, that I say out loud, that Mother's Day for me as a preacher through the years has been kind of a difficult thing. It's hard to preach about. Now, not that I don't like Mother's Day, because I do. And some of my favorite days and experiences in my life have been on Mother's Day. But what else can we say about Mother's Day? Or mothers, for that matter? It hadn't been said a million times. Now, I think that most people favor the idea of mothering, or being a mother, or having a mother, or motherhood and apple pie. But for one thing, I am a mother of four wonderful children, distinctively different, but children whom I love and enjoy being with. So it's hard to talk about the attributes of motherhood as if I'm blowing my own horn or pleading for some kind of special attention or compassion or understanding for myself. And on the other hand, I'm painfully aware that there is no perfect mother, and that my own children might, and two of them are here today, and they might hear this sermon and wonder just who it is I'm talking about and call me out on it. And that would be humbling and embarrassing. Then there's the issue of those who feel sad or hurt or left out on Mother's Day. And also, it's because Mother's Day is such an emotional day for me, simply because I now know what a blessing it is to be a mother. And most importantly, because I am eternally and every day grateful for having had such a unique and amazing mother myself. I know my children are laughing over there. She taught me so much about living. Not all good, but mostly good. My mother, who I miss so much and would love to be able to spend another Mother's Day with, and I know that a lot of you can agree with that and know what I'm talking about. So I want to honor and remember her, especially this day, and the mothers who are not with us. So I would like for you with me to say, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day, Inez. I miss you very much. And speaking of her, there's an old song that my mother loved about mothers. I sometimes hear her humming it, and she would sometimes sing it with tears and choking in her voice about her own mother. And she did have an angel of a mother, a woman who, if you knew her, you loved her. And this poem song was written about the time my mother was born, so I think that's another reason she liked it. She grew up with it. I would sing it, but my mother wouldn't like that, so I'm going to just read the words to you. You've heard it a million times. M is for the million things she gave me. O is that she's only growing old. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for her heart as pure as gold. E is for her eyes with love light shining. R is right, and right she'll always be. Put them all together, they spell mother, a word that means the world to me. It's hard to even read those words. I know now why she cried and choked up. I have great memories of my mother, how she walked about 10 blocks to make sure I had a birthday cake one year. It was not long after she'd had cataracts removed from both of her eyes at age 34. Our shopping trips we made together to try on ridiculous hats, and she would just bend over laughing. And how she loved yard sales and flea market sales, and how on rainy days she'd make a playhouse in the attic for me and teach me how to make doll beds out of oatmeal boxes. I'll always remember her fishing hats and the dirty shoes that she kept by the back door to work in the yard, her hot pepper growing and eating contest with her brothers, and that she said she had a kitchen only because it came with a house. True. And her pitching in when I was a single widowed young mother. Her stories about World War II and being a real Rosie the Riveter welding airplanes at Lockheed. How she loved picking up snakes. She would pick up almost any snake anywhere and hold it up and say, "Look!" And showing me how to make paper dolls out of Sears Roebuck catalogs. Oh, Mama certainly had her moments too, angry moments. And she would always insist on making my school clothes, and I hated it, and making me wear long pants under my dresses when it was cold in Atlanta. But they didn't stay on any longer than it took to get to the nearest house with a lot of shrubbery, and they were gone. But there was way more that Mama did that was funny and fun stuff. But even so, even with all the good memories, the words of that song that she liked so much seem a lot too lofty, too mushy for my mother. Because in all honesty, no flesh and blood mom lives out her role like the lyrics of that song, or not many. And I have gotten some beautiful, mushy, sweet cards with angels on clouds and birds singing and all kinds of heavenly images from each of my children. And I just cry over each one of them and love them, and I've got every one of them, I think. And I bet nearly every mother here has a handwritten poem from a sweet child one Mother's Day, even if their Sunday school teacher didn't make them write it. Or some flowers pressed in a book still that some sweet little hands put in your hand one day. But the truth is, those sweet flower-laden cards can't really tell us about who we are. They're not telling us this is who you are. They're telling us this is who I wish you were, or maybe God wishes you were. Okay, maybe the 1915 song doesn't say it. What about the woman in Proverbs 31? Have you ever read that scripture? Well, listen again. A woman of worth, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She rises while it's still night and provides food for her household. Her hands hold the spindle, and the household are clothed in crimson. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well in the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her happy, Her husband, too, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Does that fit your mother? Well, it fits mine in some ways. She worked hard and was a lot of good things. I've known some women who could have that proverb authentically read at their funerals, but they died young. I think it's a lot to live up to. But here's the truth. Modern biblical scholars say that this version of a Hallmark card is maybe not really describing a human at all. This woman of worth is really God as wisdom and creation, as a woman. She invites people who pass by to come and feast at her table. She calls the young and the foolish to walk on the path of the wise woman. This is no Hallmark card at all, unless it's a card for God. God the Mother, this is the wisdom of God, the love of God imaged as a wise woman. This is giving us an image of the attributes, the tender female attributes of God. This female image of wisdom takes care of us, invites us into a place where there is a table set, where there is food, where there is beautiful clothing, gives us shelter, and she is trusted, and she's benevolent. All the metaphors we need for about things we need. Things that a good mother will give, all provided by the mothering qualities of the divine in a way that we can relate to in the form of a human woman that we are describing. Mothers that take care of, mothers that comfort, mothers that feed us, mothers that love. You also can hear in there, I did when I read it, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the light of the world. Okay, I know that some of you may be squirming a little in your seats. It's kind of uncomfortable for somebody to think of Mother God. Maybe that's what I'm leading up to, and I am. But only in that God did create us in both genders to fully display the image of God. Remember in Genesis, so God created humans in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We were created in his image, not the other way around. Does God therefore have feminine attributes? Most definitely. In this way, God has feminine attributes as well as masculine attributes. The Bible is clear that God is spirit, and as such is not gendered. Jesus, in his human nature, was male. It's also true that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are often referred to as he in the Scriptures. God relates to us like a father. He provides for us, leads us, and protects us. But also in the Bible, God relates to us and is revealed to us like a mother. God comforts like a mother comforts her child. Like a woman never forgets her nursing child, God never forgets us. God seeks the lost like a woman looking for a lost coin. God desperately searches like a mother bear when robbed of her cubs. Jesus longs for his people, like a mother hen longs to gather her chicks under her wings. Now, just a few minutes ago, I said I looked out on this congregation and I saw still the faces of many, many mothers, different faces, different lives, different ways of being mothers. And I think it's wonderful for those of you who have in some way been a mother in some way, who can define yourself as a mother, or who someone else might think of you in terms of mothering them. And I thank you for being there for those people. And I also look out and know that there is someone who faces Mother's Day with some amount of pain because they never knew their mother, or their mother was not around, or not loving, not caring. There are people who have never understood the flowers, angelic cards of Mother's Day, and I am very sorry if that's been your experience. However, as I have lived and looked out into this world a while now, each Mother's Day brings to me a better picture of who God is as mother. And it brings me a deeper realization that the image of a mothering God is a good thing for all of us. It's a good model for us to live up to, a good way to look at other people, a good way to see our children, our neighbors, a good way to model our relationships. It's a good way to see ourselves as loved children of a tender-hearted, sheltering, merciful God. And if we look around us, we can see that kind of love modeled in the lives of some mothers, grandmothers, step up to the plate in times of need mothers, all kinds of people who are also made in God's image and who live their lives in the image of God's tender and mothering love, and doing it in a way, in their own special way. And so, that is why I believe that it's all the more important for each of us to hear and to realize that in spite of who our earthly mother is or was, that we all have the best mother. That God is not just a strong and manly parent, but that God is beyond masculine and feminine language. That just as my daddy had strong arms and could pick me up and swing me way over his head, my God can hover over me like a mother eagle sheltering her young. And just as many women who have wanted to be mothers and were not, and others have felt they were not the mothers they should have been and have lived in shame and grief because of it, that we are all loved by a God who is capable of being and comforting, protecting, and teaching us when we were vulnerable, when we are weak, and when we are not perfect. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. God knows that humans are not perfect, that even mother love may fall short. But over and over again, God tells us that his love is still greater. He says, even though she may forget, as hard as it is to understand, as impossible as it may seem that a mother would forget, it happens. But I will not forget you. My love is greater. God is telling us, my love is unfailing. You are my child. Ryan, Ed, Marianne, Colin, Terry, Chris, David. Put your own name there. You are my son and you are my daughter. You are precious in my sight. I will not forget you. My love is always there. This is not just for that other person. This is not just for that better person. This is God's word of love to you. I will not forget you, ever. A couple of weeks ago, I read a sermon by a woman named Alice McKenzie. She talks about Jesus and how he saw children and other people who were not valued in his day. In her sermon, she talks about the scene where Jesus scorns people who are trying to keep children from coming to him. You may remember that story. She compares it to all the times that Jesus invited anyone who was filled with shame or loss because they could not live up to what society expected of them. You know, People who didn't measure up because they were children or lepers or women with hemorrhages or the woman at the well who had been married several times. The woman caught in adultery, or the woman who had not had any children, or children who had not had mothers, or people with disabilities, or people who are not one of the better people. I believe that also includes mothers who feel at times that they could have done a better job of mothering, and all the rest of us who feel like maybe we haven't measured up. Those who doubt they can handle responsibilities of being a parent, those who have resentment towards their parents, those who are lonely on Mother's Day or Father's Day, single parents who have a lot to do, who M is for the million things they still have to do, those who feel trapped in a bad relationship, those who believe that they have thoughts that no good mother would have. Well, back to the story of Jesus. Jesus invites those children to come to him, to push past the ones who are trying to stop them and want them to think that God doesn't want them. They want these children to actually believe that there are barriers between them and God. But I believe he is inviting all of us, all of his children, to be loved, to be on the inside, to be cared for, to come to him to be heard, to be accepted, and sit next to the one who loves them the most. This is the headliner of that story. The children did get up close to Jesus. We don't have to be a perfect mother. We don't have to have a perfect mother to celebrate Mother's Day. We can celebrate our mother for what she did do for us, not be angry for what she missed. We can be grateful that there are people around to love and accept our love, even if they aren't our children. And I'm so thankful that there were helpful and loving adults in my children's lives when I was alone in raising children. I'm so grateful to those extra mothers in our lives. And I think we can all serve a special purpose in the lives of the generation behind us. And best of all, we can celebrate a perfect God who holds each of us in his divine embrace and comforts us as the best mother. No, comforts us as a perfect mother. God's love is the best. The best mother's love, the best any kind of love, only more sincere, more perfect, more constant than the sweetest mother that you can name. There seems to be no equal to the wonder and greatness of a mother's love. And those of us who've been fortunate enough to know a mother's love should be grateful to her and grateful to God. For that, I praise God and I give him thanks. But I pray that God will give to every mother here all that we need to continue to show that love to our children and to everyone for that matter. But it's most important that we also realize that the greater love is the love of God, the unfailing, constant love. It is shown to us and always with us in our joys and our sorrows, in every event and every experience of life. We can know this love and be sure of it. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. We don't have to choose one name for God, Father, Mother, Emmanuel, Lord, Master. Our hearts do not have to cry out because of what we think we might be missing in our own experience with motherhood. We can all celebrate Mother's Day with joy. God is creator and God is sustainer. God is strong, and God is a soft place to fall. God sees our tears, and God cries with us. God is Father, and God is Mother. The fact is, our human words for God all of our metaphors are really incomplete and can never fully describe all of the wonder and capacity of God. Whatever we need, God is there. Whatever we lack, God can provide. One of my favorite writers has been Irma Bombeck. And she wrote a story once about how God created mothers. You may have heard it, but I think it's worth repeating. She says that on the day God created mothers, he had already worked overtime. And one of the angels said to him, "Lord, you sure are spending a lot of time on this one." The Lord turned and said, "Have you got the specs on this model? She's supposed to be completely washable, but not plastic. She should have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She's to have a kiss that will heal everything from a broken leg to a broken heart. She is to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers. And she's supposed to have 6 pairs of hands." "6 pairs of hands," said the angel. "That's impossible." "Well, it's not the 6 pairs of hands that bothers me," said the Lord. "It's the 3 pair of eyes. She's supposed to have 1 pair that sees through closed doors so that whenever she says, 'What are you kids doing in there?' she already knows what they're doing in there. She has another pair in the back of her head to see all the things she's not supposed to see but must see. And then she has 1 pair right in the front that can look at a child that just goofed and communicate pure love and understanding without saying a word." "That's too much," said the angel. "You can't put all that in one model. Why don't you rest for a while and resume your creating tomorrow?" "No, I can't," said the Lord. "I'm close to creating someone very much like myself. I've already come up with a model who can heal herself when she is sick, who can feed a family of 6 with 1 pound of hamburger, and who can persuade a 9-year-old to take a shower." The angel reached over and touched her cheek. "This one has a leak," he said. "I told you that couldn't put that much in one model." "That's not a leak," said the Lord. "That's a tear." "What's a tear for?" asked the angel. "Not a tear, a tear. And it's for joy, for sadness, for sorrow, for disappointment, for pride." "You're a genius," said the angel. "Yes, indeed," said God. "Moms are a little like God. Know this love and share this love. I wish you all truly the best Mother's Day ever. Amen."